Let's turn our Bibles to Titus, chapter 2, verse 11. We finished chapter 2, but it'll be just a little lead-in as we finish Titus tonight. It's again, it's a letter that Paul wrote to Titus after he had gotten out of his first imprisonment, and he left Titus on the island of Crete to set in order the things on the island for the church. And he, last week we emphasized that the real teaching of last week was that he would teach people to be obedient to God, to be a witness, to be a light, and looking for the blessed hope, he concluded with, which we're going to review here now. So Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Do you think God meant all men? So the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. God has made it clear all men can be saved by the grace of God, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So we, a true believer, repents. Not like, I've got to repent of this sin and this sin and this sin and this sin. We've got to repent of the attitude of, I want to do what I want to do to serve the things of the world. Everybody has to, the repentance is part of the gospel. You turn away from doing your own thing in the lust of the eyes, flesh, and pride of life, generally. You want to say, I want to stop doing that. I want to worship the God of holiness. And I want to turn away from worldly lusts. And I want to live soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. That's what happens. Looking, and everybody that's truly born again and has that attitude, is looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would say if you would run in, if you piled up all the people that get called up in America, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you go to church? Yes. And that has, that percentage has varied over the years, but probably 50%. What percent of that 50% are you excited that Jesus is coming back? Do you think it would be close to the same 50? In fact, just in talking to your Christian friends, I mean, it's almost like it's a litmus test. Because a litmus test, do you want to turn away from ungodly, worldly lusts and live soberly? Yeah, I want to. There's things that the Lord's still working on in my life, but that's what my desire is. So you're hoping Jesus, oh, I can't wait till Jesus comes and gets me out of this wicked world so that I don't have to struggle anymore. That's the attitude of a true Christian. And if somebody doesn't have that attitude but still goes to church, there's something wrong. And looking for the blessed hope, glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So how are we looking? You know, it says, blessed, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing. What are we looking at? In fact, the song that actually Brian alluded to, cast our eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That's why I remember when I got, somebody told me that song in Idaho when I was just brand new saved. I go, oh, that is just so true. And how am I looking at the face of Jesus? It's not like I put a picture of him on the wall and stare at it like it's idolatry, but I see the face of God in the Word. That's where I find who he is. And so a true believer wants to sit down with Jesus, wants to sit down and look at him, let the Holy Spirit bring the Word of God, make it alive in our hearts to make the world strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And verse 14, who gave him? Why? Why do we want to do this? Because he gave himself for us, that he might redeem us, buy us back. How did he buy us back? Shed his blood. Peter puts it, this precious, it wasn't just bulls and goats, it was the precious blood of Jesus. When people really are saved, they know that Jesus died on the cross. Some of that blood was shed for me. Redeemed us from every lawless deed to pull us out of the grasp of Satan and doing all of our lawlessness, because that's what we were doing as a slave of Satan, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. A sign of a truly saved person, zealous for good works. Because we know that we're a child of God, and he purchased us with precious blood, and we get to go be with him because he adopted us. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. let no one despise you. Well, that's kind of hard. Do people despise us today? So what's, you know, Paul says, don't let anybody despise you. Well, Paul, they're going to, you know, in 4 years they're going to kill you. So what do you mean? So what's he really saying? It's not like we can keep people from despising us. But what he's really saying is when they do despise you, don't change the message. That don't let their despising of you change this message. This is what you preach. And turn away from ungodliness. Exhort, rebuke with all authority. And don't let somebody say, oh, you shouldn't be saying that. You're too radical. Paul's saying, tell them you're not going to change. You're too into this Jesus. I mean, can't you be like the Pope? You know, something like that people say. Again, my dad told me, you'll get over it. You know, you're a little bit weird right now. You'll get over it. Well, by the grace of God, and never did get over it. Are you wanting to get over being in love with the creator of the universe who so loved you, he sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins? We can't ever get over it. We can't. What's the problem? We can't get enough of it. It's not what we want to get over it. It's just like, man, I'm still so messed up. I'm not into it enough. Chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. Now this has been really applicable to many debates over the last couple, 3 years, hasn't it? Along with Romans 13, be subject, obey your rulers. Does that mean everything they tell us to do, we must do? Is that what Paul meant? Now how do we know that that's true? What did Paul wrote this. Why did they chop his head off? Because they did everything the Romans told him to do? That he was subject completely to the Roman authorities? And when they said, swear to Caesar that he's God? And so Paul goes, well, you got to obey authorities. That's what is subject to authorities and obey them. Yeah, Caesar, you're God. Is that? No, he didn't do that. Why? Because when God tells us to do something different, then we do what God says. I must obey God rather than man. Is what Peter said to the scribes and Pharisees. He told them he had to stop preaching in Jesus' name. So then what is really Paul saying? Did he then, you know, put out the word to all the Christians in Rome and say, hey, I want you to go get all your swords and your ARs and your everything, and I want you to release me from jail and get out of here? No. He went before Caesar, and when they said, you know what, this time, we let you go last time, but this time, Christians are hated even more than they were before because Nero burned down Rome, blamed it on the Christians. Everybody hated the Christians, so lopping off their heads was no big deal. And so we're going to take your head off. And Paul said, okay. Yeah, and so in other words, I'm subject to the authorities. Even when I'm saying, when they say, you got to do this, get the jab or whatever else. And I say, no, I'm not going to do that. Well, then you're going to lose your job, or you're not going to be able to buy at the grocery store, or you're not going to be able to travel, or you're not going to whatever else. Okay, trust Jesus. How am I going to get, you know? And then we just simply trust Jesus because I'm still subjecting myself to them. I don't feel like I'm going to start an armed insurrection to make them stop doing that. And that's what goes along with, and speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. In other words, when for the last 2 years, Christians should not have been posting on Facebook or anything else hateful rants against personalities and people in the government over this, over these issues that we've dealt with. It shouldn't, it can be so easily welled up in our flesh, can it? Because, I mean, I was ticked off big time with just the lies, the deceptions, the power politics, lying about the jab being, you know, FDA approved when they knew it wasn't approved and they did a sleight of hand and the media got involved and that forces all the people in our military to take the jab or get fired. I mean, I was upset, but this would tell me, my upsetness, I don't speak evil of anybody. I don't speak warring. I'm peaceable, gentle, showing humility with all men. Telling the truth, and you know, when I had the conversations a couple, three times with the county health department, disagreeing with them and say, you know, it was appealing to them. You're going to answer to God for the people that you're going to kill by forcing these mandates. You're going to answer to God. It wasn't hateful, because God was restraining me with verses like this. And then it goes on to say, remind them to be subject, peaceful, gentle, showing all humility to men, because we ourselves, verse 3, were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, and hateful and hating one another. And even as messed up as I was as a total pagan kid, I could justify myself and go, but God, I wasn't that bad. You know, see, what God says is, don't speak evil, don't have hatefulness, because you too were once messed up. Well, yeah, but not like them, God. And God wants us, you know, erase that, because we're all lost in our trespasses and sins. We're all headed to hell. These people are deceived, and some of them are more deceived than others, because some of them are possessed by Satan or his demons. And when they've given themselves over for however that happened, we can grieve over them, over the fact that they have a demon now controlling and inside of them, probably for the rest of their life. And then they will be judged, their souls will be judged for entering into that kind of a demonic relationship with the enemy of their souls and causing all the havoc and the death and the destruction that they're now responsible for. And we should grieve over them, because they're going to spend, we're so looking forward to the blessed calling, you know, the blessed hope of the calling of Jesus to tell us to come up into heaven. We're so looking forward to that. And because we're going to be there for how long? Eternity. And so one of the things that can help guard our hearts is they're going to have weeping and gnashing of teeth for how long? Eternity. And so we're just going to be grieve for them, pray for them, disagree with them, disobey them when they tell us to do things that we know we shouldn't do. And just try to be a witness to God, for God. For we ourselves were once foolish. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 as a parallel passage. You know, it says, showing all humility to all men. That's so hard, isn't it? Because it's not our nature. What's the nature? What's the flesh nature? What's, you know, pride. You know, it's just pride. You're messing with me. You're this. And so the unbelievers live in pride, and our still dead flesh that still is able to function through us is prideful. God wants us to be humble. And everything that we're saying, even if somebody's disagreeing with us, we should never be seen by somebody watching. Man, they're just full of pride in their arguments about Jesus. They should say, wow, they're being humble even though that guy's or lady is in their face about what's going on. That's what God wants us to do. And all of those things he listed off take the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit, don't they? Because God's got to change us to make it happen, and that's what Ephesians says. Ephesians 4:25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and don't sin. Once again, it's okay to be angry. God was angry. But we don't sin by using the world's methods of being angry. Be angry, but don't sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. The devil can use our wrathful anger, even if it's righteous indignation. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. I know this. What does that mean? No, what is no corrupt word? That I'm never swearing at somebody in hateful anger. Never as a Christian. And if you're not there, and I know a lot of people aren't there, what does it mean? That we strive to be there. We say, God, I know, according to Titus and to Ephesians that you want me to not have my mouth be like that. That I am supposed to be restrained by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the love of the lost and patience with them, knowing I once was like them, to just not be wrathful in my communication. Because otherwise I'm giving place to the devil. Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but what is good and necessary edification that may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. When we violate what God is telling us in Titus and here in Ephesians, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us is grieving. Just like when we tell our children something and we tell them how we want them to treat each other as sibs or whatever else, and you see them going at each other and, you know, and stuff, it grieves us because we know what's best for them. And the Holy Spirit is saying, I'm trying to change you to be like Jesus. I want you to have the attitude of God. I want you to have, because he's living inside of you as a witness, and the world knows the way worldly people are. They're all that way. What they notice is when you're different. And then when they notice you're different, then they want to know about the Jesus because they know they're enslaved. And so it grieves the Holy Spirit when we violate that. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit by whom you were sealed. I mean, we are saved. Even if you do violate these things, you're still saved because we're not saved by works, right? We're saved by the grace of God. But it's because we're saved in what God did to us, we should be motivated to let him rule in my life. We're first sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Back to Titus 3:3. Forgiving one another because why? Man, Jesus forgave me. And this is all great wisdom from God, and we can all admit there's times we fail. But we don't live in condemnation. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but there is conviction. Let the Holy Spirit convict us. Jesus, I want to be more that way. I want to be more of an example of what you are in the face of people that are disobedient to you. And as we saw that Jesus did. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. When people are that way that are unbelievers, they're just doing what they do. They're doing what they're enslaved to do. And until they get set free, they're going to keep doing it. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, towards man appeared, who is that? Jesus. But when the God the Father's love was so demonstrated to us that he, for God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. He gave us his only begotten Son. When the kindness of the love of God our Savior towards men appeared, Jesus, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of the regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Why do we not have the attitude the way the world does? Why are we not blinded and deceived and believing a lie and rejecting the truth the way the world is increasingly? You know, if there's a pandemic in the world, it's people believing a lie instead of the truth. And it is absolutely universal in a way that just is, it really actually blows me away. In fact, there was, somebody sent me a link to the press secretary today, because you've heard that the U.S. Open tennis championship, one of the number one in the world, is not allowed to come into the country to go to the tennis champion because he's not jabbed. He's not so-called vaccinated. And a reporter for Fox News asked the press secretary of the United States and asked, now how is it that we can have illegal aliens walking across the border that the government is not requiring to be vaccinated to come into our country and go wherever they want to go, but we can't let somebody legally come in and play in a game? And she goes, there aren't people walking across the border. That's not what's happening. And I am not, I'm not hyperbole. I'm not, how many people saw that clip? Okay, did I misrepresent? Okay, so now, and you know what? With a straight face, They're not walking across. And the reporter goes, yes, they are. You know, I mean, it's like, it would be like me saying right now, look how dark it is outside when it's still light. And I'm trying to convince you it's dark. And she really, I mean, she's psychotic. We have a psychotic press secretary. And it's an epidemic. It's not just her. It's just there is a spirit of the devil that has actually taken over this country, and people are believing a lie instead of the truth, which is what 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says will be in the last days. Because people have rejected the truth, God will give them over to the lie that they will believe a lie. I've said that, I don't know, 20 times in the last 6 months, a year, because it's just getting worse and worse and worse. And today was like, well, that just takes the cake. I mean, how can you even have a better example than that, that we have lost our collective minds as a country? We haven't lost our minds. My brother-in-law said, Kevin, stop saying we. I really have to guard that, because we haven't lost our collective minds, right? But when I say we, I mean, like, our country. You know, what we're observing our country doing. We've rejected God. We've pushed him out. We've killed children. We've done all this stuff. And God has said, enough's enough. I'm going to give them over to that delusion. And I'm going to let it sweep through the land. And I'm going to bring judgment upon this nation I once blessed. And I'm going to bring judgment upon this world that's just the same all over the globe. And he's going to bring in the last days. And then he's going to say, according to the word of God, he's going to say, but just before I really ramp it up, I'm pulling my kids out. And that day's coming. He's going to pull his kids out, the ones that truly love him and are looking forward to his appearing. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared towards men, not by works of righteousness, we didn't earn it. We didn't do it because we said so many prayers, or we read our Bibles, or we went to the Pope and somebody did something, or Mass, or anything else. He saved us through washing of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit. He gave us a new. He washed us when we said, God, save me. You alone can save a sinner like me. And then once we call upon the name of the Lord, he does it by his act of love towards us, when we just simply have faith in him. And faith is not a work. You can have faith, or you can reject having faith. You can stay prideful, or you can get humble. Those are the two things that we can do: stay prideful and reject God, or get humble and receive and call upon the name of the Lord. When we do that, he washes and regenerates us and gives us a new heart, whom he poured out, verse 6, on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. God sends his Holy Spirit. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I'm not going to turn there, but it says we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. So the Holy Spirit gets sent inside of us. He's poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, which is transforming us from glory. The day we get saved, we're in glory, positionally. And then from glory to glory, the rest of our lives, he's sanctifying us, and the Holy Spirit is working to get us more in tune, more in like-mindedness with God and his calling inside of us. That having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs, inherit, according to the hope of eternal life. So we are justified. What does that mean? Just as if I had never sinned. And we are heirs to receive the glory of being with God forever and eternity. Are you excited about that? Let this place do what it wants to do. And I mean, some people say, Kevin, you keep on saying that instead of voting and pushing people to vote and change things. You know, you just give up. You just say, we're going to get raptured. We're going to go to heaven. If I felt like we were in a position with the world's people and even the nation's people to change, to repent, to turn to God, and actually what our mission is to repent, turn to God. That's the mission of the church. That's what we say. Because when that happens, then they're going to be thinking in accordance with the Word of God, and they're going to vote according to the Word of God. And so instead of getting people to vote the way you want them to, get them to worship Jesus the way you do, and then that fixes everything. Not that we shouldn't vote, because we can vote, but that's not going to fix anything. And what I notice is nobody wants to repent out there. Nobody wants to turn to God, which is another sign that we're at the last days, because why have a church preaching to a bunch of people that have the fingers in their ears saying, get out of my life, I don't even want to hear you. You know, WorldNetDaily.com, how many of you have heard of WorldNetDaily.com, news source? They just got completely kiboshed by Google today. If you Google WorldNetDaily, it'll tell you that this site is full of conspiracy theories. And then if you click on the link anyway that they have in Google, it says going to this site could damage your computer. They just did that today. WorldNetDaily has been completely censored. Now, again, these are the conspiracies that turned out to be true. But because people believe a lie, they still believe that the truth is a lie and the lie is a truth, and therefore it's all conspiracy. But WorldNetDaily will have Christian articles about people coming to Jesus and what it takes to be saved and stuff like that. Now, anybody that tries to go there, they get the flag, going to the site could damage your computer, which is a blatant lie. But a lot of people think, oh, I can't go to WorldNetDaily. So when there's this kind of a turning away from the truth, what good is it going to do to try and get them to vote? Because they've already, you know, the population is just increasingly rejecting God. So we still just keep preaching, looking for anybody and everybody that can. Well, that's why we put these tracts out, leave them around. Maybe there's somebody out there that'll listen and realize they better turn their life to Jesus instead of thinking normal's coming back. This is a faithful saying, verse 8, and these things I want you to affirm constantly. Now, think about this. I want you to affirm yes, yes, constantly say yes to that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. So, not so that we can get to heaven. You know, do good works so you can go to heaven. What's it saying? Because you're going to heaven, do good works. And affirm that all the time. Why does Paul want Titus to affirm that to Cretans all the time? Because we have a hard time knowing that's what we should do. Wouldn't you say? All the time, let's do good works. Let's serve Jesus because he saved us. He's given us everlasting life. He's filled us with the Spirit. He's given us a different heart. We need to be a witness to people. Verse 9, but avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Really, at the time, the Judaizers and the Old Testament people were using disputes about the genealogies, contentions, and striving about, no, you gotta be circumcised, you gotta be this, you gotta eat kosher, and all that stuff, and it was just trying to destroy the church, and Paul just says, just don't even argue with them. They are unprofitable and useless, because what you need to do in verse 10 is reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. We're wanting to preach Jesus, faith in him, Jew or Gentile, not to tell people to get circumcised. Well, you know, you're wrong. You got to tell them this and you got to tell them that. No. Think about this. Jesus wants a circumcision of the heart, and that's what it was all talking about. Even Moses talked about the circumcision of the heart and the law. And so God is wanting Gentiles to just come to faith in him. And so now look at these prophecies of Isaiah. Nope, I still don't believe it. Then reject them. You warn them once, you warn them twice, and you say, that's a divisive person, a heretic. Heretic actually means somebody dividing people on the truth of the scriptures. And then you just say, just no, you're not part of the church. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning and being self-condemned. Let's turn to 2 John, verse 7. Very similar passage. And where it says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. I'll give you a little longer. Many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward, be fully saved. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, that he is God in flesh, the anointed one sent by God, the Christ, does not have God. And there are people that say they're Christians that don't believe that Jesus came as God in the flesh to save us. And there are Christians who are yoking with those people, the Mormons, making videos that add to the Word of God. And people think it's wonderful when God says, don't have anything to do with those people. You're yoking with somebody that doesn't even believe that Jesus is God. Does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house. What does the house mean? The house of the church. Wherever the house was of the gathering places. Don't receive him into your house, nor greet him, for he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Why? Because the importance of believing in the biblical Jesus so you can have the biblical salvation of being born again of the Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit in you, to change you, to glorify God through Jesus Christ. If you don't have all that, you are a fake witness. And people would say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but then they're not going to have the Holy Spirit to change them and to have the same message of what it takes to be saved, to call upon the name of Jesus, to be saved, and then you're saved. And so if you yoke with them as a Christian and say, oh, we're all the same, we all worship the same Jesus, which is what Jenkins says, we all worship that, we're worshiping the same Jesus, then the deception goes out into the world with, whoa, they're the same. John says don't do it. Paul says don't do it. Going back to Titus 3:10, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. And then he closes up by saying, when I send Artemis to you and Tychicus, be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, which is western Greece today, for I have decided to spend the winter here. So when your replacements come, when one of these two guys gets there, then they're taking over for you in Crete. I want you to come to the west coast of Greece to winter with me there. And it's believed that then, you know, when, we don't know, but early church fathers wrote that then Paul, probably in the spring and summer, headed as far west, and one of the early church fathers said he went all the way to the farthest west, meaning Spain. You know, so he made it over to Spain, which is what he said in Romans he was wanting to do. I spend the winter here. Verse 13, send Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey, because these are the two guys that delivered the letter to Titus on Crete from Paul, on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing. You know, they're on a mission for me to do something, and send them with food and whatever they need to get going. And let our people also learn to maintain good. Let our own people, don't just tell the Cretans, all the people that are staff, let our own people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen. So then, apparently, Titus went, joined him, might have gone to Spain with him, spends about 3 years there. Extra biblical history has that some of the churches that were planted by Paul there ended up going up into England, and that's how Christianity got into those places. It spread from whatever got formed there. Then Paul came back into the Macedonian Greek area, and by now, Nero has burned down Rome. Christians are not popular. He was arrested again. He's arrested, put in jail. He knows he's going to die. He writes 2 Timothy, and that's the last letter he wrote. So even though it's 1st, 2nd Timothy, Titus, it's actually 1st Timothy, Titus, 2nd Timothy, chronologically. And then they took off his head. Why? Because he disobeyed authorities and preached Jesus. Which are we going to still do that? And we're, you know, what was so funny is that I didn't hear about WorldNet Daily being basically kiboshed until later on today. This morning we were talking about the YouTube issue. with, you know, us being somewhat censored and realizing it's not going to matter soon. Everything's going to be censored. They're going to shut down YouTube. They're going to shut down Rumble. Well, we'll put our videos on the internet, on our website. They can't shut down our website. It's a website. No, it's not our website. The domain name is owned by ICANN. ICANN issues us by privilege, not by right. They issue us calvarypo.org. But ICANN is a globalist company that Obama, just days before he left office, he gave to the globalist company, and they have already made a rule that you can't do anything illegal, or they can shut your site down. They can take your domain name away. And so someday, just like in Paul's day, where it became illegal to preach Jesus, it became illegal to not swear allegiance to Caesar, he lost his head. And so we need to talk and communicate the gospel as much as we can. And I said today, it's really going to get to the point where it's just going to be the local church again. It's going to be us gathering, if we can have gas in our cars, electricity, and food to be able to eat enough to be able to get. I mean, they're shutting the whole world down. They're consolidating their power by making misery just around the corner in a way. But we just keep preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us and love Him and serve Him until He comes and takes us out of here one way or another. Amen. Father, we thank You for this time. We thank You that we can communicate, Lord, still with relative freedom and peace. And we pray that it would continue to do so as long as we can, because we wouldn't really like the trial of the kind of persecution Peter and Paul and others had in the time that these things were being written. But Lord, we don't care whatever Your plan is. We just want to be found to be Your servants until the very end. And God, do help us to flee from wickedness and evil speech, and just let Your peace and let Your love and let Your patience rule our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God.
Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Lift Jesus higher, lift Jesus higher, lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me.
We lift Him up and He draws all the men that want to go to the light. But what did Jesus say? They hated the light. Why? Because they loved the darkness, knowing that their deeds were evil. So we lift up the light for the people who go, oh, my deeds are evil, but I want to come to the light. The ones that want to repent from their evil to get to the light. And that's what we keep doing, being that lighthouse in the harbor. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.